All right, Z, fire it up.
All right, Daniel, let's get started. This is the big one, the Championship Week podcast. Take the points. Dan Partridge is with me. He's live from Phoenix, Arizona. I am Tom Zalesnok from Hartford, Connecticut. Hit us up on LinkedIn or at takethepoints.net.
LinkedIn, baby.
Just LinkedIn. Dan, we've had 47,000 LinkedIn requests since last week's podcast.
That's amazing. We should always be thankful anytime you get a LinkedIn request. I mean, I don't know where my, you know, life and my professional career may lead me. I may need to be a, you know, middle school teacher in like Oregon, you know, or I might need to be a custodian in Kansas, or, you know, there's a lot of options. So that's the beauty of LinkedIn. I mean, it puts you in touch with so many cool professionals.
Michigan's hiring their next coach on LinkedIn. They just had a post.
Most likely.
LinkedIn, everything I have in life, Dan, I owe to LinkedIn. I got job on LinkedIn. I got my last job on LinkedIn. I went to college by applying on LinkedIn. I found my wife on LinkedIn. We linked up in online, and then we linked up in real life.
Linked for life.
Yep. If I decide to have a kid, I'm going to get it on LinkedIn.
You're so bad. LinkedIn, like... If you have a boy, you can name him after Abraham Lincoln. It's kind of like LinkedIn. It's close. Does that work?
Yeah, Nebraska. Because Nebraska wants to be more like Oregon, they're going to hire Scott Frost. They're going to change the town from Lincoln, Nebraska to LinkedIn, Nebraska. It's going to help with recruiting.
That's the line of the year right there. You win.
All right, Dan, let's get serious, Dan. No more joking around.
It's real good.
Our rankings are out. I just watched the ranking show. Alabama 1, Oregon 2, TCU jumps up to 3, Florida State, undefeated, falls to 4, 5-6, you've got Ohio State, followed by Baylor. Now, a note on Ohio State, the committee said that they were measuring their performances to date, and therefore JT Barrett's injury, that won't be taken into account until next week. So that's the reason they're still at 5, is because Barrett's injury hasn't counted yet. My question for you, my first question for you, is about Florida State. Undefeated, falling to number 4, Jimbo Fisher said this week, here's his quote, "Let me ask you this." Should I do this in a Southern accent?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I don't know if I can do a good Southern accent.
Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this. How about the way our team hasn't finished? Our team has never not finished. The game is 60 minutes. This team hasn't lost in over 2 years. 2 years! Everybody says game control. That's something made up. As a coach, you talk about one thing. Finish. Get her done. He actually said get it done, but I changed that.
That is not what he said. You are correct. He said get her done. That is a English, I'm sure you're right on that, is what I'm trying to say.
How do you feel about the only undefeated team in America being ranked 4th?
Okay. I've been happy so far with all the rankings, and it went well. This new set of rankings is 100% all about getting Florida State out of here. They know that for most college football fans, probably a high percentage, 95% or so, they want Florida State to lose. So they know that they can't have Florida State play TCU or Oregon. They're most likely going to lose to Alabama. So... it's so rigged. It's Alabama, Florida State on the East Coast playing in the Sugar Bowl. Again, and then on the other side, you got the two West Coast teams, Texas and Oregon, playing in the Rose Bowl. It's perfect for rating. It's perfect for, like, you know, regional reasons. It allows Florida State to play the hardest path to repeat as champions, so they don't want Jameis Winston winning another title at all. Like, there's a 0% chance Florida State wins the national title. I'll tell you that much.
You know, I never thought about that, but that does seem very suspicious.
It's all shady.
I was just more concerned about Florida State, the one undefeated team, being ranked 4th in general behind Alabama. Okay, they're really good. Oregon versus Florida State, now you've got a question. And then Florida State being behind TCU, I think is kind of crazy. Now, We all know that Florida State has struggled, but They keep winning. You and I have talked about since week one the motivational issue.
They don't care.
They don't care. They know that all they have to do is win and they're in, or at least they thought so.
Yes.
So that's all they've been doing. And we don't know if they're good. We don't know if they can actually turn it on. But to me, they should be ranked second, and you could make a very strong case for them to be first.
I believe they should be first. I mean, if this was 1990, whatever, 8, whatever, you know, and it was just based off of, you know, AP poll, you know, comes out with a national title. Can you imagine if Florida State was number 4 and undefeated right now and had 3 one-loss teams above them? There would be like, oh, this is the most ridiculous thing of all time. How could an undefeated team? It's all about Jameis Winston and how much everybody hates him and they think he's a criminal. I don't know if he is or not. I have no idea. But they want his ass out. Out of college football, adios, goodbye. Lose. Go to the NFL, never mention Florida State again. That's what the NCAA wants. And they're like, the most likely chance for them to lose is to play Alabama first. So if they somehow squeak by Alabama, then they got to win another game. They're going to make sure Florida State plays Alabama that first round, 100%.
I was a little bit curious whether they were trying hard to make a point that schedule matters and that you need to schedule more difficult teams. When Florida State fell behind Mississippi State originally and fell down to 2. I thought that was pretty cool. It showed that they didn't care about schedule. They cared about who was the best team. And Mississippi State had better victories. And so therefore they're going to jump Florida State. Now I think they're overcompensating a little bit, trying to show that schedule matters and Florida State's had close wins. But I think if you watch the sport, it's hard to put Florida State as the 4th best team in the country.
Yeah, it is completely stupid. Florida State should be ranked 1. And, oh, yeah, you know, they're like, oh, Florida State moves down because they're non-quality wins. Oh, really? Then why do you got Ohio State sitting there at 5 with 0 quality wins?
Right. I mean, that's the question. I'll give them 1 quality win, but that's a good question as well.
0.
Michigan State's good, and they pounded them, so I'm going to give them that one. Minnesota, we discussed before we started taping. Ooh. That is not a quality win.
Powerhouse. Can't wait to see him in the Outback Bowl against Auburn.
All right, Dan. I did an in-depth comparison of TCU versus Baylor because that seems to be the question. How two teams that play in the same conference who have played similarly throughout the season can be ranked 1-3rd and 1-6th, and the one that won the head-to-head is 6th. So let me get your take, and then I'll go through my comparison.
You know, I as you know, if you listen to this podcast, I'm a huge Art Briles fan. I love Baylor, but I'm going to side with TCU on this one. They were up 21 points with 6 minutes to go on the road, and they allowed, you know, that high powered potent offense to come back. And that's TCU's only loss, a game where they were up 21 in the fourth quarter.
There was a questionable call at the end as well.
There was some very you know, shady stuff. So actually, to me, that is more like a win for TCU than a loss. If you lose only by a few points on the road after having a huge lead like that, that's telling me that if they play again and it's at a neutral site or at TCU, TCU would win. As much as it kills me to say, I believe TCU is more deserving than Baylor to be in the playoff.
I think what you said pretty much sums up what the committee is thinking. If we can assume what they're thinking by their ranking, I think that's pretty much their logic.
It's true. It is. It sucks, but it is. It's true. But if everything kind of does hold true, look out for, the AT&T Cotton Bowl is on January 1st. So that would be Ohio State against Art Briles, Baylor, if possible. If all the bowl stuff holds up, that'd be a great, amazing bowl game that would be on the same day as the two other national semifinals. So not all is lost. Look at it like that.
We should make a rule,
nay.
If all of these teams win out, that the 5 and 6 one-loss teams play each other.
Cotton Bowl, for sure.
Okay, here's my breakdown, Dan. TCU versus Baylor, a 2014 comparison. Big 12 schedule. They played, so far, 6 common opponents. Texas, both teams won solidly. Advantage, push. Texas Tech, Baylor struggled. TCU put up 82. Advantage TCU. Oklahoma, Baylor dominated. TCU edged them out. Advantage Baylor. Oklahoma State, both teams won pretty handily. Advantage push. Kansas, Baylor dominated. TCU struggled. Advantage Baylor.
I forgot about that game. That's a very important game. Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
West Virginia, Baylor lost by 14. TCU won by 1 point, I think.
On a last-second field goal, so TCU could have lost that game as well.
Right, but advantage TCU. Now, the two remaining games. Baylor beat Iowa State by 21. TCU plays them this week. TCU beat Kansas State by 21. Baylor plays them this week. It's possible that a team could garner an advantage there, but doubtful. Most likely, if both of those teams win out, we're going to call that a push. Out of conference, you've got Baylor beating three horrible teams, TCU beating two horrible teams, and the aforementioned Minnesota, who we'll call them a good team, not a great team. Advantage TCU. Head-to-head, Baylor gets the win, so advantage Baylor. Three advantages go to Baylor. Three advantages go to TCU. Three pushes. To quote the great Ace Ventura, "I've done all I can. Thanks for nothing."
Nailed it.
It's an exact tie, these two teams, to me.
I know. It's really close, and I just go based on the fact that if you have a 21-point lead with 5 minutes to go, you're going to win that game 99.9% of the time. So I'm going to say it was a fluke comeback by Baylor, and TCU is more deserving.
I have a reminder before we move into the recaps. I'd like to remind people that the thing they need to know, maybe this isn't a reminder, but a pro tip. The thing to remember about this year is that these teams are not playing against former incarnations of their own team, but rather they are playing against the competition from 2014. So basically with the four teams that we have in the playoff now, all you're going to hear is, well, Alabama's good, but they're not as good as the 2012 Alabama. Oregon's good, but they're not as good as the 2011 Oregon. Florida State's good, but they're not near as good as last year. TCU obviously is much better.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter if they're better than last year's team or the year before. What matters is who's the best of the four remaining. So
yeah.
If you're betting, if you're picking, you have to go on that. This is not the strongest year all around for college football, but there is a lot of parity at the top, and it should be a very exciting playoff. I think, actually, after thinking about it, this might have been the best year ever to switch to the playoff format, because if we were still in the two-team BCS, it would be a giant, giant clusterfuck.
It would be Florida State versus Alabama, and all the other teams would be going, "It's not fair. We have one loss, too, like Alabama." And they'll go, "Well, SEC," and there'll be the whole argument again. So, yeah, it is a great year for the playoffs. So, really excited. It's going to be great. Even, you know, I don't care who's in the playoff. It's going to be great.
All right, Dan, I want to get your recap of the Iron Bowl, which we can agree was maybe the best game of the season, if not one of the top five.
It's so good. It's so amazing. Like, there's no reason why every year, every person in America shouldn't just go, "Okay, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sit and watch the Iron Bowl for 4 hours." It's so fun. I really enjoyed it. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, Dan, you actually made a Facebook post about the Iron Bowl. You make a Facebook post once every 6 weeks, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
But the Iron Bowl was worthy.
Yeah, I was up way early, like super early that day. So I was fired up.
So here's my question. How much did Alabama impress you in that game? Do you think they have any weaknesses? And if they were to somehow lose to Missouri, do you still think they're one of the four best teams and deserving of a playoff spot?
If they lose to Missouri, no, absolutely not. But Alabama is who I thought they were. You know, they got a superstar wideout, Amari Cooper, two, three, probably, you know, four, five, six amazing running backs, but Yeldon and Henry. Got to hand it to our main man, Lane Kiffin. He really knows how to call a great offense, and he can put points up on anybody. He actually is a really good offensive coordinator. Good job by Alabama hiring him. Their offense has never looked better, ever.
That was such a questionable decision before the season, and now I think I actually, watching him this season, now I understand why all these teams wanted him as the head coach.
Yeah,
unfortunately, he doesn't seem to be able to manage players, but he's a great caller.
really good play caller. I mean, he was amazing in that game against Auburn. But, okay, overall, fantastic game. I love Auburn. They're such a cool team. They have so much heart, you know, to go down there in Alabama. And, like, early, there's the early, you know, miscue turnover. Alabama scores. Looks like it's going to be a blowout. No, they hang in there. They kick their field goals. They keep it close. And they just, you know, scored 44 points and lost. You know, it comes out of that. So Auburn made a change and got rid of their defensive coordinator. They just got to improve their defense. Their offense is amazing. Malzahn's not going anywhere. They're going to have a ton of high-end blue-chip recruits coming in. Future's very bright at Auburn, but another great Iron Bowl. Can't wait to watch it next year. It's just so fun. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, Auburn offense looked great. I think we've got a couple of first-round receivers on that team.
Two. We've said it all year, too. We said it week one. We're like, who the hell is that junior college transfer that Auburn got? And sure enough, everyone's like, oh, my God, look at him. He's unstoppable. We're like, yeah, we said that in August. Don't worry about it.
Here's my prediction. Auburn will have four starting NFL receivers from this team.
Wow.
Sammy Coates, Duke Williams. What's that guy's name? Ricardo Lewis. And Nick Marshall.
Nick Marshall is going to be the other one, too. He's going to be, you know.
He's the next Cordell Stewart.
Randall Cobb, maybe. But Randall Cobb was a freak athlete. Just a quick aside, Randall Cobb was unbelievable in college. Like, if people, you know, never saw him play when he was in Kentucky, go on YouTube and watch some stuff. That guy was a freak of nature.
Yeah, that's my takeaway. Auburn's defense was their Achilles heel all year long. If their defense played better, they probably would have won all of those games except the one against Georgia, which they were terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
So they'd be a one-loss, probably playoff team if they had a halfway decent defense, but they don't. So they made a change, and they'll be back next year.
Absolutely.
They're going to be a great value betting because, as we discussed earlier, you're looking at maybe an Outback Bowl appearance.
Cool.
And Outback Bowl plays third or fourth from the Big Ten. So you're looking at Auburn, possibly Minnesota, maybe like Wisconsin.
Iowa is going to show up somehow.
It'd be unbelievable if they play Iowa, Nebraska, some team like that. It's going to be a total woodshed. So anyway.
They are going to lose their bowl game by about 50 points. They are really upset about the firing of their head coach, more than I kind of expected. So look for them to completely mail in their bowl game. Mark that down right now.
We'll get to Mr. Pelini in a second.
Mr. Pelini.
Anything on the Civil War?
No, not necessary. Well, outside of nice job by Oregon to finally smash, smash Oregon State and take care of business like they should. Because that's a hard place to play, and I've seen really good Oregon teams play low-scoring games against them, so... Oregon came out hot, jumped on them early, and it was game over. Nice job.
It's funny. We don't really we talk about a thing or two before the podcast, but we don't really coordinate. And my notes are exactly the same. I was really impressed by Oregon. People are going to underestimate this win, but to dominate Oregon State in Corvallis, that's a tough place to play. Really, that's a rival. I was really impressed by Oregon. I think they deserve that number two spot.
Yeah.
Or let's just say they definitely deserve a playoff spot should they win out. No question about it.
Yes.
All right. Ohio State, we don't need to talk about the game against Michigan because Michigan is horrible.
Horrible.
Ohio State's the only team that gets credit for big wins against teams that aren't actually good.
I know. It's horrible. It's sickening. It's terrible.
But their resume, you know, we'll get to them when we talk about the game.
Good.
The thing I was going to say for right now, Ohio State fans are going to argue they shouldn't be kept out of the playoff because they lost Barrett. It's not fair. I am going to agree with them. They should not be kept out of the playoff because they lost JT Barrett. They should be kept out of the playoff because they're not good. They're the weakest one-loss team. They have the worst resume of the one-loss teams. They should be ranked six below Baylor even with JT Barrett.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that. They just didn't schedule tough enough. Their right. One difficult out-of-conference game they lost, and better luck next year.
It was not. It was a. That's a team. That, Virginia Tech's horrible. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible loss.
In fairness, they rolled the dice. Them and Baylor. They played pretty weak schedules. They got by with one loss. They did what would have worked in previous seasons, and they happened to pick the one season where there's just a bunch of good teams at the top. So it came back to bite them. Better luck next year.
I agree.
Although I still think there's a chance they weasel in because they're Ohio State.
Nope, not going to happen, thank God. But they will play in the Cotton Bowl. Can't wait.
That'll be a good one.
Oh, Baylor's going to kill them.
All right, Dan, would you like to congratulate Mark Richt on a great season?
Excellent job, Mark Richt. 9-3, right on schedule. I believe that was the exact prediction, again, in August we talked about, where Georgia was one of the where everyone said Georgia and Oklahoma were national title contenders, which we disagreed with right off the bat. Mark Richt is a horrible coach. I know he's had injuries and blah, 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 but it's the same old story. It's Georgia. You're supposed to be equal with Alabama. Like, that's how it works. It's you're the major state school in the SEC, and you're in the hub of it, and you have the largest major city in the South, in Atlanta, inside your state. So, horrible job by Richt. The guy's a complete failure. I'm so sorry, Georgia fans. You will never, ever come close to a national title with this guy.
I would like a personal apology from Danny Cannell for picking Georgia as the number one team, having them in the playoff for like 5 weeks straight.
Danny Cannell, what an idiot.
Danny Cannell, you can find me on LinkedIn and apologize. Yeah,
link it up, baby.
Link up. I won't hold it against you. I just want one quick apology. Then you can go back to... We can go back to agreeing on Florida State's place in the national discussion. All right, Dan, another coach whose fate was not as good as Mark Richt. That is Mr. Bo Pelini, fired even after a big comeback win against the aforementioned Iowa.
Big win.
So Nebraska lost two out of their last three games. They should have lost to Iowa. I believe they have top 15 talent this year, and they're going to finish the year probably unranked. Probably going to lose the bowl game, as you said.
Yeah.
There's no doubt this was a very disappointing season for them. But what do you think about Pelini's career overall, and did he deserve to be fired?
I think Pelini's a little bit underrated, actually. If you look at how he has, fared overall as a Nebraska coach, he's got a very good, percentage of wins versus losses. I think they're the only team to have won nine games in a row or something, X amount of years. Here's the problem is that there are colleges who are not aware that we are in a modern college football world in 2014. Nebraska thinks that they're a national champion powerhouse. Those days are over. Nebraska is never gonna be a powerhouse. No one's coming from, Florida and Texas and all that shit to go play there anymore. No one wants to. So they need to just understand that they're not going to be a powerhouse like they used to be and just be happy with the, 9-3 years and the occasional, 11-1 and maybe make a BCS game. Nebraska is never going to be the 1960s, 70s, 80s powers that they used to be. And they just have way too high and unrealistic expectations. Pelini did a okay job there. And from what I've heard from all of his former players and stuff, people are not happy that he got fired. So I don't know. I don't like it.
That will certainly be a gambling opportunity in December, whatever bowl game they're in. I'm going to offer the counterpoint to you. Nebraska is a proud football program with a good tradition. Sure, they were good in the 90s. They weren't great much before that, maybe in the 80s, but they're not a powerhouse in the way Alabama or Auburn is. But whoever's going to college now, since they've been born, Nebraska has been a very good football team / great football team. Nebraska is not going to win competing with Oregon, Texas teams, SEC teams on speed and freak talent.
No.
But some other teams you could look at who do very, very well without that talent. You've got Kansas State, their neighbor. They seem to do very well getting JUCO guys and getting guys who are three-star recruits and getting the most out of them.
That's true.
Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I think, is the best comparison because Nebraska thrived by having, first off, guys who were older, guys who sat for a year or two and were, you know, 24 years old by the time they graduated. So therefore, physically bigger, more mature, smarter. You know, 6 years in Nebraska, they were halfway to graduating. So yeah, they're a lot smarter. Wisconsin still does a great job with running backs, stiff white quarterbacks, giant offensive linemen who eat a ton of sausages or corn or whatever.
Probably both.
I think Wisconsin is the program you want to emulate. What they've had is these guys, they build up the trenches. They try to recruit great running backs. They know that they're not going to get an unbelievably freakish receiver or a five-star quarterback, but they make do without that. They manage to win 10 games and compete for their conference every single year. I think Wisconsin can emulate what they've done up there. They can try to get JUCO guys like Kansas State. They can learn from Michigan State and focus on running and defense. Try to get a great coach in there. You know who would have been the best coach for them? Unfortunately, they can't get him now, is Chris Peterson.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's too bad they didn't fire Pelini a year early and go for Peterson, because what he did with Boise is actually a perfect example of how to be great with Nebraska. They've got money, right? Nebraska has good facilities. They've got money to spend.
Oh, yeah, they do. Beautiful facilities. Some of the nicest in all college football.
Yeah, so I think they need to adapt a little bit, maybe try some cooler uniforms, go a little bit more to the spread, but
yeah,
you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to become Oregon. That's what I would do, and I think if they do that in a relatively weak Big Ten, they could compete year after year if they make the right hire.
Yeah, that's fair.
So there you go. Free advice, Nebraska.
Yeah,
Even though I will always hate them for the 95 season.
I'm still pissed off about that, but they should hire their next coach via LinkedIn.
I think that's true. There's a guy named Mike Gundy who is possibly available.
Yeah, seriously.
Gundy, I got a quote on Gundy that I want to read. So they talked to T. Boone Pickens, who obviously is the guy who runs the show at Oklahoma State.
Understatement.
And yeah, so what he says pretty much goes.
Yeah.
The question, this is the Austin American Statesman, a newspaper. They asked him the question, are you still supportive of Mike Gundy? Here's his answer. I'm certainly supportive of Oklahoma State University. I'm always going to be for OSU. I don't care who coaches them.
Wow, that's a hell of a line.
That is what I call the R. Kelly defense. Jerry Sandusky also employed this defense rather poorly when he talked to Bob Costas. Are you attracted to young boys? First off, he goes, am I attracted to young boys? The answer to that question is no. No. Same with R. Kelly. Did you have sex with a 14-year-old? The answer is no. Instead, he says, define underage.
Yeah, no, see... Those are not words of an innocent man. That's all you need to ask. If you're innocent and someone was like, you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life for sexually molesting people. If I was on that stand, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking? Zeke, someone talk to me. You know, I would be freaking out going, somebody come to my defense. Give me a character witness. I'd be yelling and going, this is bullshit. Not, can you define what that means? Like that
I like kids. I wouldn't say I'm attracted to kids. It was the worst thing. Me and my wife were watching that together, and she didn't know as much about the story, and she's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy, and why the fuck is this child molester on TV?
It's so bad. It's just awful.
It was horrible. So anyway, the point of that is Gundy's going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
You'd be very wise to snatch him up, whether you're Nebraska, Florida, whoever.
Anybody. I mean, honestly, I mean, outside of like probably 10 to 15 head coaches, I would put him right there.
So here's, maybe you can chime in on this. We'll talk a little bit about the coaching carousel. I know you've got some words of wisdom or compliments for SMU and their recent hire.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, why don't we go start with that?
Sure. SMU, hats off. That is an amazing hire. You win the best football hire of 2014 award, hands down. Get the Clemson offensive coordinator, Texas high school football coaching legend. Texas A&M is where he went to college. The guy knows all the high school football coaches in the state of Texas. And if you're like, whoa, wait, how's he going to turn around SMU? SMU's 0-11. Well, guess what? There's another team who was 0-4 that got turned around by a former high school coaching legend, Art Briles and Baylor. Genius move by SMU. They are a smart institution, beautiful college, great academic school. They're going to turn around. My prediction is they're out of the AAC within 2 years, at the end of not next year, the year after, and they'll be back playing Texas and Oklahoma State and all them in the Big 12, and they're going to be the new powerhouse. So if you like SMU, this would be a time to go buy an SMU hat because you're about to jump on the roller coaster to the top.
I totally agree. I think it's a great hire. I think if they see any success, they'd be wise to get out of the AAC, the awful athletic conference, very quickly. The Big 12 cannot help but expand soon. It's going to have to happen, especially if Baylor or, God forbid, TCU were to lose and Baylor and TCU both get shut out of the playoff. Mm-hmm. They're going to realize they need a championship game soon.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think you're going to see them expand to at least 12, if not 14 teams in the near future.
Right.
And I'm looking at some Mountain West teams. I'm looking at maybe a couple AAC teams. If Memphis can keep up what they're doing, maybe they sneak in there.
Houston and SMU from the state of Texas are slam dunks. I mean, it makes total sense.
Any coaches out there that you think are a little bit under the radar that would make good hires at a major program? I think McElwain at Colorado State is obviously, he's a target of Florida. People know his name. I think he'd be a great hire. Is there anybody else on that level that you think would be good to make the jump to a Florida or a Nebraska?
That's really hard. You know, I can't really think of a coach who's taken. You know what's absolutely crazy is outside of TCU's head coach, who's probably won Coach of the Year, Gary Patterson, as nuts as it sounds, coach number two of the year, it's got to be your boy from Arizona via Michigan, Rich Rod. I mean, the guys, they're 10-2. They're number seven in the BCS. I mean, it's crazy.
He's to the point where it might not even make sense to leave unless it's an outstanding job.
Might actually have to consider him for one of these major jobs at this point. But no, I can't really think of any other kind of mediocre teams that have been really, really good outside of, you know, Mississippi and Mississippi State, but they're loaded, you know.
No, you don't leave the SEC unless you're going to Alabama, maybe.
No, I really can't think of anybody. Maybe, no.
I got a few. You tell me what you think. Okay. So two of them that I think we'll call these guys people to watch are the coaches at Utah State and Boise. They've continued the traditions from the previous coaches, from Peterson and Anderson.
That's a good point.
They're new. They're playing with other guys' players. If they can keep up what they're doing for another year or two, I think you're going to see them as big names.
I'm
curious about Doc Holliday of Marshall. Hmm. I know they just lost, but Marshall is talent-wise nothing really spectacular. I mean, they shouldn't be that much better than all the other teams in their conference. Them to almost go undefeated, I think he deserves a look from a team, maybe if you're a Kansas, a team at the lower echelon, if you're a Purdue, Illinois, I know Beckman's staying at Illinois, but that level of a team.
Those are perfect examples. Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, those like mid-level Big Ten teams he'd be really good for.
Okay, now if you're a slightly better team like a Nebraska, a few guys to consider. Number one, my man, David Cutcliffe of Duke.
I knew you were going to say that. I almost said it, but I'm like, you know what? I'll just pass and let Z mention
that. What he's done at Duke is so much more impressive than like Nick Saban or Melzon or anyone else. I mean, I don't know. Melzon's been amazing. Art Briles is the greatest coach of all time, but Cutcliffe, what he's done with Duke, a team that never was good, nobody gives a shit about, even the students only care about basketball. He's turned them into a very, very good program.
Hats off to him. You're absolutely right.
He has to get a look from somebody big.
He deserves it. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Oh, actually, let's not move on. We'll get to the lines in a second, but I would like to call out two types of internet articles that I've been seeing a lot recently. I'll put them on blast, Dan, so to speak.
Do it.
Number one, articles that are just mostly embedded tweets and vines. I'm putting you on blast. If you're the author and your article is more than 50% embedded tweets and vines, you got to step up your game. You're hired to write, son. You're not hired to embed things.
Okay.
All right. Number two, TV recaps with a list of random extra thoughts at the bottom of the recap. You put that shit into your column. Figure it out. Again.
Just figure it out, people.
Again, you can't just write your column, your recap of The Walking Dead, and then just put random thoughts that you couldn't fit in. You fit them in or you leave them out.
Quick aside, are you a fan of The Walking Dead?
Yes.
See, I started watching that, five, 6 years ago, first episode, day one. And because, I was a little bit intrigued. I've always liked horror movies and stuff like that. But, dude, and of course, I mean, I, have watched every episode. I still watch it. But the show's pretty much hilarious at this point. I mean, nothing happens. Like, nothing happens. They go through a whole season where they're like, well, we got to find this girl that's missing. It's like, why? Like, who cares? Just run. Like, get out of there. And then they go find her, and then she fucks it up, and then she dies anyhow, and you go, well, that was a fun 10 weeks. Can't wait till February. It's going to be great. It boo Walking Dead, yet I'm uncontrollably urged to watch it every Sunday night, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It's not my favorite show on TV. Well, actually, it probably might be my favorite show on right now because there's not a ton, but just of all the shows that run year round, it's not my favorite, probably not even top five. I do like it a lot. I'm not a horror movie person, and so I resisted for a long time, and I didn't start watching until season four. I went back on Netflix and watched and caught up. And what I like are the human power struggles and interactions, not the zombie stuff. Yeah. So I find some of the stuff cool. Some episodes are better than others. The two things that crack me up. One, no one has ever missed a shot on that show. Unless they're learning to shoot a gun for the first day. Like sometimes when Carl or the other ones are learning to shoot a gun, they might miss like two shots.
Carl.
But Rick and Daryl, Carol, all of them have not missed a shot in 100%. 5 years.
Nope, they're 100% accurate.
Yes, they're more accurate than Bryce Petty, Jameis Winston, all of them combined. So that cracks me up. And the other thing that cracks me up is how they continue trusting people, although they're let down every single time. Like there was just one in the other episode where they had the cop hostage. Spoiler alert, people.
Yeah.
They had the cop hostage and he's like, my buddy's dying over there or he's a zombie. Can you just shoot him and put him out of his misery? And she turns away and of course he headbutts her, then runs away. And it's like, how many years do you have to be out in this apocalypse with people fucking you over before you stop trusting random strangers?
Like, okay, yeah, like, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to go do this for you because you seem like a classy guy.
Yeah.
You tried to kill me an hour ago. If someone tried to kill me an hour ago, mm-hmm. I'm not doing them a favor. Probably not.
Yeah, so those are the two things that throw me, but especially the nobody ever missing a shot. Bows, guns, throwing rocks and stuff, they always hit their target. Not only do they hit them, but they hit them right in the one spot in the forehead where you have to kill them.
Of course they do.
It's impressive. They'd have a very good QBR, Dan.
They got a high rating based on an ESPN stat that doesn't exist. But anyway, go
ahead. Yeah. What the Walking Dead shooting rating. The WDSR is through the roof.
We should come up with that. That's as equally accurate as ESPN's horseshit QBR that they invented in 2011 for fun.
It's their shooting ratio.
Yeah.
All right. Not? Here's my challenge to you, Dan, for our next podcast. I want to begin with each of us make up two new statistics.
Okay. Football stats. I'm
yes.
In.
And it has to be better than or equal to game control.
Oh, perfect. I'm in.
All right, Dan, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the lines.
All right, let's do some lines. Wait, was that out loud? That didn't sound right. We've never even used that before.
How did you just think of that, Dan?
How do we just do that?
I don't know. That's going to be our new slogan. All right, welcome back to Take the Points Championship Week Podcast. Danny, let's do some lines.
Yeah, all right, man, let's do some lines.
All right, Thursday. This is a Thursday game, and I don't know when I'll post this podcast. We're recording on Tuesday night, so I want no more than 10 seconds of analysis on this game. Central Florida at East Carolina, -6.
East Carolina has not been good the second half of the year. I don't know why they're laying a touchdown. Take the points in the 7.
Agreed. Dan, I made a bold proclamation to you yesterday. I said that I am taking all underdogs today.
I did. I heard that.
I was serious at the time, although upon further review, I have now changed my mind on 2 games.
Okay, fair enough. So
there are 2 games, and then there's 1 or 2 others where I'm seriously debating. But it's going to be mostly underdogs for me, starting with this one.
Okay.
All right, Friday night, big game. MAC Championship at Ford Field in Detroit. The Motor City, 7 p.m. Northern Illinois, winners of the East versus Bowling Green, winners of the MAC West. Bowling Green is coming off of consecutive losses. They lost to, Toledo and Ball State. Northern Illinois won the MAC East, which is a much tougher division. So that would make me lean toward Northern Illinois if I were taking the money line. However, with a touchdown in the MAC, 2 teams that average about the same. We've got 2 low-scoring MAC teams in this game, Dan. They only average about 27 points a game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the points, take the touchdown.
I completely agree. If we've learned anything from the past couple years with this championship week, there's always a couple weird upsets where you have one team that you think is going to go and they're not. I think this happened to Northern Illinois a year or two ago where they went undefeated or some bullshit like that.
The same exact thing. Bowling Green upset them in the championship game.
It's possible. So I'm going to go ahead and take the points until further notice on that one.
Right. I think Northern Illinois is a better team, but that doesn't mean anything. The MAC championship is – you should watch this game, everybody, because I know it competes with a much better game that starts at 9, but – watch a little bit of this because the MAC championship games are wild.
Yeah, they're really good.
All right. The bigger game is, of course, the Pac-12 championship, which is Friday night. Arizona versus Oregon. Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara.
Yep.
What is that?
It's the new home of the San Francisco 49ers. They play in Santa Clara now.
Oh, okay. See, it shows what I know. I've been barely watching pro this year.
Yeah.
What with my dedication to college.
Good.
All right, so over under 71.5.
Over.
I think you owe it to yourself to take the over, as in all Pac-12 games.
Yes, of course.
So that's a given. The line is about 14.5.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think Oregon smashes them by 4 touchdowns. Arizona's had a good run, but Oregon's not going to take this team lightly because they've already lost to them. That was a different Oregon team. That's when they had offensive line issues and blah, blah, blah. I think Oregon's really going to put on a show in this game. But Rich Rod is a great coach, so I'm not going to make like a huge wager on this by any means, but I have to go with Oregon. Maybe they don't win by 4 touchdowns. I'm going to take that back. But I think they win by 17-20.
Okay.
Oregon's just been unbelievable lately. They've just been coming out of the gate and hammering people in the first half, old school Oregon style, and it's been over. So if this is 42-10 at half, it's over. You know. So I don't know.
I really don't know how good Oregon is. I actually watched them a few weeks, and I think maybe this team can win a national title. But I remember thinking the same thing the last few years, and then comes the game when they eventually get stopped by somebody. So Arizona already beat them. I would lean toward taking the points at 14.5 especially. But I will be betting the over in this game, no doubt about it. That'll be my bet. So that's it. I think Oregon wins the game somehow, whether it's 3 points or whether it's 30 points. I have no idea. But
Oregon's going to the playoff 100%, yeah.
I think so. I did pick my four playoff preseason picks are all in the top 6. So I'm hoping I can finagle something and make that happen and get a perfect 4-for-4. It's going to be tough, though, because I have Baylor.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Is it possible Arizona makes the playoff in some weird, bizarre scenario. They beat Oregon, so they both have two losses. Ohio State blows the game to Wisconsin, so that would move them up 2-5. And then you just need Kansas State to beat Baylor or Georgia Tech. I mean, is it possible they would get in with two losses? Be the Pac-12 representative?
Yeah, anything's possible in the words of Kevin Garnett, but I think it's, as you said, a weird, weird scenario. I think, to me, Alabama is a playoff team with two losses ahead of Arizona. So they're in no matter what, I think.
Alabama and TCU for sure. If Florida State loses and they still have one loss, they got to go over a two-loss Arizona.
I don't know about that. I think the committee has proven they hate Florida State.
It's okay.
I think Florida State needs to win this game or they're out.
I think Arizona might make the playoff. I don't know what's going on.
I think Oregon needs to win or they're out. Yep. TCU needs to beat Iowa State. And before you think that's crazy, anything could happen in those Big 12 games. Baylor could lose. Ohio State could lose. But I think – Arizona is seventh right now. If they beat Oregon, they obviously hop Oregon. So they're up to sixth. They would need two more losses.
Not hard.
Not counting Alabama. So yeah. I think you need Ohio State to lose to Wisconsin, and then you need a Florida State, maybe Baylor, maybe TCU choke job. It's possible. Very unlikely.
It's crazy. It's very unlikely, but it's crazy to think that Arizona's alive to play in the national fucking playoff. That's nuts.
It's a great job by Rich Rod, whatever happens, and I think they've earned themselves a New Year's Six spot, so hopefully. Congrats.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're playing in the Fiesta Bowl out here. You know that.
All right, Danny. SMU at UConn. UConn, 12-point favorite.
I will not lay the points. I'm taking SMU plus 11.5. I don't care.
I said earlier in the year this would be UConn's second win of the season. I think now they've won two. So this will be their third.
Yes.
I think they win the game. But no way I would ever lay 12 points with UConn. I don't care if they're playing West Tennessee JV.
No, you can't. You can't lay 12 here because
they can't score 12. This game's gonna be 9-6.
You can't lay 12 if you're not sure the team can score 12. Easy rule.
UConn is minus 12 against nobody.
I know, no one. There's not one college team that they can lay 12 to.
No, I mean literally against nobody. If it was just them, their offense and no defense, it would be minus 12. 10 UConn nothing. Versus nobody.
One touchdown, one field goal, 10-0, no cover.
All right, Houston at Cincy.
This is a weird game. Cincinnati's been a really strange team. They are actually a very high-powered, potent offense if it's very nice outside with good weather. I've seen that. Every time it's been the other side and it's been, you know, bad weather, that offense struggles. So check for a weather update in this one. And Houston hasn't been that good this year. The over-under is 57. If there's some bad weather, as crazy as it sounds with these offenses, I like the under. But if it's like 50 degrees and fine, fire the over.
I made Houston my preseason pick to win the AAC, continuing my 5-year running streak of picking horrible teams to win the AAC. That was a terrible decision by me, and I apologize. I ask that you pray for my family during this difficult time. I will not trust them again. They've disappointed me greatly, and I will be laying the points with Cincy. Minus 7, so that's one I've changed on. That is
Fair enough.
A favorite pick for me. All right, Temple at Tulane. Temple. This game is happening, whether we want it or not.
I don't know if that's a real game. There it is. Okay, 7:30. Ooh, we get the primetime start down in New Orleans on a Saturday night.
What will the rating? Can we get a negative TV rating for this game?
There will be no rating. First of all, it's on ESPN2. ESPN, like, not watch ESPN. Well, of course.
Well, there's not a lot of games going on that day, in fairness.
There's no way. This game should not be on ESPN2. That's pretty low.
This has watch ESPN. This is the Doris Burke watch ESPN app game of the year.
This is your annual team from the Northeast who wants to get the hell out of there in the wintertime game. They are 5-6. They need this to get to a bowl game. They're only laying 3.5 points against a team with 3 wins. Temple sucks, but lay the points because they really want to go to a bowl.
Hmm. Interesting, Dan. I was going to say take the points on this one.
Nope. Lay it.
Can Temple win a game by more than a field goal?
5-6 teams are very, very shitty. Put yourself in there. He's like, let's see. I go to college in Temple in the hood in Philly. And if we beat this shitty team in Tulane, we get to, like, skip school, get on a plane, go stay at a hotel and screw off. It's going to be great. So basically, all I got to do is win to get a free vacation.
My counterpoint to that is that Tulane is in New Orleans. So this is their vacation where they're going to screw off and not play.
Run it back. Vacation 2.
Maybe. Maybe if they have enough fun on Friday night, they'll realize they want to go back.
That's going to be interesting. I don't know. So I don't know. For me, I love 5-6 teams.
This might be the rare game where if I were the coach, I would encourage my players to go out and party on Friday night. Get a little taste. Enjoy it. You want more of this? Go win on Saturday.
That's a good point. I like it.
That's why I am a future Hall of Fame coach.
You're way ahead.
I'm the new Florida coach, Dan. I don't know if I told you.
Way ahead of your time.
I'm bringing on Aaron Hernandez and Tim Tebow as my coordinators. What do you think?
Classy guys.
Okay. I was going to make more Aaron Hernandez jokes, but we should perhaps just let it go since he'll be up for trial soon and possibly out and trying to kill us.
No, because that's only his first trial for one murder. Then he's got a second trial for a double murder. Then he's got a third trial for 2 more murders. So he's got 3 chances. So he's got to go a perfect 3 for 3 to avoid life in prison. Good luck with that.
Yes, his TAR score. That's my first made up stat. Trial avoidance. I forgot rate. What the last. Yes, trial avoidance rate. His TAR needs to be a perfect 100% out of 3.
It's looking very doubtful based on our ratings. DVOA rankings. I don't know what that stands for.
I have no idea. There's like a S&P stock now for football. There's like an F- score.
These nerds and their numbers, I don't know.
I don't know what they mean. I honestly don't know what they mean. Like, do you know the difference between touchdowns responsible for and touchdowns?
No, they're both worth the same.
I have no idea. They keep saying, you know, whatever, Dak Prescott leads the league in touchdowns responsible for. I don't know how that varies from just touchdowns.
Passing and rushing touchdowns. It's just to make.
Yeah, people, but that's the same as.
It's a useless stat. There's a lot of useless. That's bad.
We had that last season, though. We just called it touchdowns.
Nerds.
All right. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. 19-point line for Oklahoma. This will be, I think, a third-string quarterback versus a third-string quarterback.
Awful year for Oklahoma football. We knew Oklahoma State wouldn't be as good, but we didn't think they would be this bad. They are another 5-6 team trying to make a bowl, unfortunately. Probably won't happen, but then again, Oklahoma's no good anyhow, so you never know. But I'm going to take the points here in a rivalry game. Oklahoma sucks. They might try to blow out Oklahoma State to, like, you know, oh, look, we saved the season, but Stoops and Mark Richt are the same guy. So never be surprised to see them fuck a game up. I like Oklahoma State.
I'll give Oklahoma State a pass. They've had a lot of injuries. They look good in that Week 1 against Florida State.
Great, yeah.
Since then, they've had lots of injuries, lots of problems. Oklahoma has had its share of injuries, including Knight, but they were deteriorating and losing games before that. So to me, they've underperformed this season, injuries or not. I'll take the points. Move on. Fresno at Boise. All right, Boise is playing for a New Year's 6 spot. They win this game, they're probably going to be in the New Year's 6. Mm-hmm. They're ranked 22nd, I believe, now.
Yep.
Can we agree that if we're in a year where there's not an outstanding non-Power 5 team, maybe we just don't give them a spot in the New Year's 6? Or do you think they should get one no matter what? I don't think there's a team that belongs in the caliber of an Arizona or a Mississippi State.
No.
Or Michigan State. I don't think any of these teams are on par this
It's a
year.
nice thing to have if a team goes undefeated. I think the rule should be if you're undefeated in one of those other conferences, you get a chance. But there's no reason that a two-loss Boise State team should show up and take the place of, maybe Ohio State, or Baylor. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Even a one-loss Boise State, had they lost to, say, Ole Miss in the first game and then won out, I'm okay with that. But two loss, I don't get it. They've done okay. They've kept the Chris Peterson tradition going strong, but they're just not on that level. And I think they deserve a spot in the Las Vegas Bowl and not in the Cotton Bowl, for example.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so take the points. 19. This will be the classic Boise game where you say, all right, Boise's great, and then they win by 7 points.
Probably slop and all that bullshit, yeah.
All right, Iowa State at TCU. I know this is unpopular. However, I will be taking the points. 33.5 is a crazy number of points to lay. Iowa State, while not good, is a Power Five team. They've been known to pull some shit and upset some people. I think they're going to look at this as their Super Bowl, their bowl game. If we can knock off TCU, I think that keeps them in it for a half before TCU pulls away. 33.5 is too much to lay in a major conference.
What time is this game? Noon? Okay. What time is Kansas State Baylor? Eight.
Later.
All right. TCU needs to put style points up there. Just in case some weird shit goes down, and they know it. And they've had an amazing year. Their fans are gonna be fired up. They're at home, last game of the year. This is gonna be an epic woodshed, Z. I'm sorry. This is gonna be really bad. And yeah, 55-3.
I'm not saying they won't dominate. I'm just saying I don't think they win by 34. I'm thinking 24 is reasonable.
There,
Slow start, strong finish, not
what's the
enough.
total in this game? There it is.
Oh, I don't know.
67. 67, you got to bet the over. TCU, I believe, has scored at least 31 points in every game this year. That's a pretty good stat.
Kansas State at Baylor, off the board.
Off the board. Hold on.
Bryce Petty concussed, possibly.
That's a valid point. Okay, so we're gonna have to just kind of figure this out on our own. What do you think the line's gonna be?
Petty healthy playing. If we can assume that he'll be good, I think it's a tight one. I think you look at Baylor, I think they do more than three since it's home field, maybe six.
If they have Petty and they're at home, it's going to be at least a touchdown.
I find it hard.
Seven and a
See,
half with Petty, without Petty,
okay.
pick.
Fair enough. I can't argue
Okay.
that. I don't believe that they're
Hail
a
Mary.
touchdown better than Kansas State.
Yeah, I think you have to make them at least a touchdown, or else everyone's going to take the home favorite. And that's not what Vegas wants. So they want Kansas State money in this game. So they're going to make that probably. I'm guessing eight-ish, maybe 8.5, I think. So my total, my final guess is 8 or 8.5.
All right, let's say the line is 8 for the sake of argument. What's your pick?
Don't know. That's a hard number to pick since I set the line because I like it evenly. That's how it works. If you set it
Fair
at
enough.
50%. So if it's 8, I'm staying away. There you go.
Well, I set my line at 6, so I'm taking the
Yeah, you
8.
are. There you go. Be interesting to see what it pops up at later this week.
Kansas State's a good team, really good
Yeah.
team. They're not ranked in the top 10 for no reason. They're going to keep it close. They match up well against
They
Baylor.
do.
Didn't they beat them last year? Didn't they knock Baylor off the undefeated charts last year?
Yeah, but it's always hard when that game's in fucking Manhattan. Even with RG3. RG3 lost in Manhattan. His Heisman Trophy year. I still remember that watching that game and just being so irate the whole time. Bill Snyder snapping the ball 1 second on the play clock, and this crazy crowd. It was like windy, and oh, I can vividly remember that game. But we'll see what happens.
The Conference USA Championship game
Yeah.
at Marshall at noon on Saturday. Louisiana Tech goes to Marshall. Marshall, despite losing in one of the craziest games I've ever watched,
it is
67-66 against Western Kentucky.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that game kind of ruins this one a little bit because Marshall no longer has a chance to go undefeated.
Yeah.
I would take the points with Louisiana Tech. I actually said, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but on the podcast, I said Marshall's going to go undefeated and they're going to want to watch out because Louisiana Tech could surprise them.
I agree.
They've lost, but I still stand by my comments.
I agree.
Take the 13.
Yeah, there's going to be a little hangover effect and they don't have much to play for. And you know how much I love my Louisiana schools not named LSU. So there you go.
Marshall, if they could weasel their way back into the New Year's Six, that'd be amazing. Auburn, Marshall, Dan, set the line.
Auburn minus 24.5. In like my world, in reality, it's gonna be Auburn minus 9.5. It's gonna be the best ever. Can't wait. I will go to Vegas to bet that game. I would.
Okay, I think it's time, Dan. The SEC championship game, Missouri and Alabama at the Georgia Dome, 4 p.m. The line is 14.5.
Oh, run it back. Turn it up. 2 weeks in a row. Yeah.
Nick Saban after the Iron Bowl said, I still don't think we've played as well as we're capable of. Of course, he says stuff like that every week, but if that's true, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
On the other hand, allow me to just play devil's advocate. You respond. I know you're shaking your head. I don't really believe it either. But
I had a neck twinge.
Okay. possible letdown game in theory for Alabama, although we know that they don't really have letdown games that often.
Yeah.
Missouri fans after the Arkansas game were doing the We Want Bama chant, so they're going to be traveling in full force and psyched up, hopefully. Missouri has a good resume. Their one tough loss was to Indiana. That's the one that everyone brings up. But I'm here to say that was early in the season. Missouri was worse back then. Indiana was better and had their quarterback. It's not a good loss. In fact, it's a bad loss, but everyone has one or two games like that. I mean, Alabama almost lost to Arkansas and Missouri smoked Arkansas. So if you look at those games, Missouri performed better than Alabama. Ohio State, of course, had their loss to Virginia Tech. Things like that do happen. Missouri has a balanced attack. They have two good running backs. Mock can run. Mock is 13-3 as a starter, even though his stats are not great. They have Bud Sasser, 904 receiving, 9 touchdowns. They have two other decent receivers. Their defense is top 15 in the country in both points allowed and turnovers allowed. They would need luck. They would need turnovers. They would need Bama to make mistakes. They'd need maybe Sims to throw some picks like he did against Auburn. But is it possible that Missouri could steal this game?
No, 0% chance.
Do you believe in Missouri at all, or do you think that they're okay, but Alabama's far superior?
Yes, I think Alabama's light years ahead of it. And I think we've seen this exact game happen one time before, and I'm gonna see if you can figure this out. I've been looking at this. I was talking to Ryan about this earlier. Okay, there was another SEC title game where the number one ranked team in the country played against a team that had two losses, same record. Missouri's ranked 16th. This other team was ranked 18th. Let's give you some more hints.
Well, I'm drawing a blank. I'm thinking it's probably Cam Newton's Auburn team, but I can't remember who they played.
South Carolina, 56-17. Same exact scenario. South Carolina had the same record and ranking as Missouri, playing the team from Alabama, going to play for the national title on turf, offensive explosion against a very solid team with a very good defense and NFL players on it, just like Missouri. South Carolina sent a bunch of people to the pros from that team, and it was just a blowout massacre. And it wasn't a letdown spot for Auburn, because the week before that in the Iron Bowl was the week Cam Newton came back from 21-0 down. We've seen this game. This is going to be a party for Alabama just to have some fun. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really – they're going to outclass them bad. I think I'm going to go with the exact same score, 56-17 Alabama.
Okay. I said that I was picking all underdogs, but that I had changed my mind on two
Yep.
games. Cincinnati was
This is
one.
the other.
This is the
Yeah,
other.
no chance.
And here's my reasoning. I bet on Auburn last week, as we had discussed. As soon as the game ended, I looked at myself in the hypothetical mirror and I said, "Why? Why did you do this? Like, how many times does this have to happen before you learn? The number one rule of take the points is what, Dan?"
You bet on Alabama or you stay away. Never
Yes.
bet against them.
And once a year, I fool myself into ignoring it. Last week was that
Same
week.
here.
I will not make that mistake
One
again.
point off the cover. Just to turn the knife a little bit, too. Auburn gets the touchdown and 2-point conversion to lose by 11. I had Auburn plus 10, so.
Oh, it was looking so good. How good was that bet looking at halftime or early in the third
Looking
quarter?
great.
Looking strong, strong to quite strong, and then Saban came
The
out.
wheels came off. Lane Kiffin put up 35 points in about a minute. It felt like it was bad, and that was it.
Yep. Oh yeah, he Shang Tsung that shit, or did a Kano move. Saban ripped out my
Pretty
heart,
impressive.
held it still beating in his hand, and laughed in my
That
face.
is correct.
All right. Florida State, Georgia Tech. Well, I've already tipped my hand to the rest of the games. So here's what I will say about Georgia Tech. I like them a lot. I think they're a terrible matchup for Florida State. I think Florida State has proven that they don't really want to play or try hard. Man, I'm really torn on this one because Florida State, as we know, likes to make you think that they're bad and then they come out and win. And I know they dominated Duke last year in the championship game, but as we said, that was a different Florida State team. I think Georgia Tech, great running game. They're actually 14th in the country in scoring offense, which surprised me because they play so ugly and they play that wishbone style that you don't think of them as this powerful high-scoring team, but they are. They've won five in a row. Their losses were to Duke and North Carolina. Duke's okay. North Carolina's not great, but this was back in October. So they've been playing well. I think they find a way to keep it within three.
I'm convinced that Jameis Winston is shaving points. I don't know how he's doing it, but Florida State wins every week and they never cover. I think finally this week that we have a low enough spread at 4.5 that he won't be able to shave enough points and he'll screw it up somehow and they're going to win and cover. That's my honest, God honest opinion. I have no evidence. All I know is that Florida game was so shady. I swear every player on Florida State knew that they were like light years ahead of Florida, and they were just like, "Ah, all right, we're favored by 7 here. We're gonna go ahead and shave this." It looked like a point shave to me. It really did. I'm not paranoid. That looked really shady last week, but
Oh, you're not paranoid. I mean, if anyone's going to skirt the law, I think this is the best example of a team that would do that in 20 years.
Four picks just for fun in a game that everyone knew that they could just close their eyes and win against a lame duck coach. Like, that was bad. But like I said, I think this week they're gonna win by 10 points and go, "All right, we covered. Great." And that's it. And they'll be slightly inspired by this number four ranking, just a little bit.
So I will admit I was very disappointed. I've liked Georgia Tech. I thought they were sort of a sneaky pick all year, especially the last month. Florida State, I thought would come out as a higher favorite in this game. I was surprised the line was so low. It seems that people just don't trust them at all.
Point shaver.
I was hoping I'd get about a touchdown with Georgia
It
Tech,
should be
but
over a touchdown. This team has won like 28 games in a row against a team that only runs the ball. And by the way, their number one wide receiver, who has twice as many receptions and yards as the next leading receiver, tore his ACL last week, not playing this week.
yes, that does hurt them.
So they have no wideouts at all. Florida State's got that big, beefy defensive SEC type line. I just think that they just slam them. And I think Florida State wins like 24 to 3. 10. 24-10. I
It's
don't know. Something like that.
so Georgia Tech has scored, I thought that at first, but Georgia Tech has scored 25 or more in every game. And usually most games they've been over 30.
That's a hell of a stat.
And they've played good teams. They played Clemson's defense, which is much improved from past years. They've played Duke, who you can laugh, but they're good. Teams like Vatek. I mean, they've not played horrible teams. So I think their offense finds ways to score, and they're better than anticipated. Also, I will be at Georgia Tech next week, so I would really like them to do well so I can join in some sort of Florida State loss party.
Okay, fair enough. What's going on there?
So I might be biased. My sister-in-law is graduating Georgia Tech. She's walking in the December graduation. So Georgia Tech fans, I'll be down there on Friday. Next Friday. All right. The big game, the Big Ten. Now here's a line I was very surprised by, very pleasantly surprised by. Wisconsin and Ohio State. Ohio State started as a 4.5-point underdog. I don't know if that's moved at this point. I have a feeling it's going to creep towards Ohio State. I have a feeling it's going to be around 3 by game time. That's just my personal feeling. The Big Ten Championship in Indy, 8 p.m. on Saturday. Cardell, I Ain't Come to Play School Jones versus Joel Yips Stave.
Yips. Just call him Yips. I love it.
I actually don't know who's playing for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They have some sort of rotation thing going on.
Rotation situation going on. Yeah, it's Wisconsin -4 right now. It actually opened at Ohio State -1, which was crazy, for like an hour in Vegas, and it instantly like shifted so hard.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even catch that. By the time I actually signed on and looked, it was 4.5 in favor of Wisconsin.
Lions come out every Sunday at, I think it's like 4 o'clock our time, from one casino in Vegas, the Wynn. So those are the first lines that get posted for any college football anywhere. And then they really shift crazy within the first couple hours. That'd be really fun to like hang out there sometime and like wait for the lines to go up and go, that's fucked up, and go jump on that. And then by the end of the week, it'll move like 6-7 points. You're like, look at that. It's kind of fun.
It's true, but in some cases, it can move in a direction that I think helps you. And this is one of those cases. I'm going to make the case for Ohio State in this game, Dan. And you know it pains me to do so because I'm not a fan of the Ohio State University. And I actually do like Wisconsin, but I just think that a team that's ranked 5th did not get there based on the back of one player. As good as JT Barrett has been in all those fake stats, I've watched him play, and he's not that good where he can't have some of his talent replaced. I believe that Cardale Jones could at least contribute 75% of what Barrett did, and I think that might be enough to get the win, at least in this game, maybe not in a playoff game.
I think you're right.
But so Jones, first off, this is Ohio State University. This is not Purdue. The starters are 5-star recruits. The third stringers are 4-star recruits. So he's not some random chump off the street. Yeah. True, he hasn't played. He's apparently a smart guy, so he probably has studied and knows the offense. He's been there a couple years. I am going to believe and have faith that he actually knows the plays and knows the offense. He's a large man. He can run. He's going to be tough to bring down. He's physically imposing, I think. I don't know. I just saw some pictures. Obviously, I haven't really seen him play.
Sounds like you've seen some photos.
I've seen some photos. I've seen Ohio State after dark.
Wait, hold on. Are you connected with him on LinkedIn? Is this how you've seen photos?
No, because that would only be a headshot.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Keep it professional.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought maybe there were an email exchange via LinkedIn.
So Cardale Jones has been a personal favorite player of mine for about since 2012 when he made his famous quote, his this is Ohio State. I ain't come to play school. I come to play football.
That's crazy.
Or it was reverse. I come to play football. I ain't come to play school.
Apparently
that was made in jest. I feel obligated to say that. But the funny thing is that people took it seriously because Ohio State players are not known for their academic prowess. When you go to the school that produced Maurice Claret, you can't say things like that because people aren't going to understand it's sarcasm.
Santonio Holmes running around somewhere. I mean, come on, man.
Right. So I think Cardell will be okay. I think it's going to take him a quarter or two to get his to find his groove, but I think he'll be fine. And they're going to rely heavily on the run. I think the defense, knowing that their star quarterback is out, is going to step up and overcompensate. I think you're going to get a low scoring, run heavy game. Wisconsin wins 23-20.
I love Ohio State. This is
wait, did I say Wisconsin wins or Ohio State wins? No, Ohio State wins.
This is my favorite line of the whole week, and it makes me sick to my stomach that it's Ohio State. They're going to find a way to win this game just so, like, if one team loses, they're going to be in this stupid fucking playoff. This is what Ohio State does. And also, if for some chance Oregon loses on Friday, this line's going to move about 6 points. So if you're watching that Oregon game and it's getting close and they're like, oh, my God, they're actually going to blow it, jump the hill, you know, on the Wisconsin before it shifts all the way to Ohio State. Like, you know, or no, I'm sorry, jump on Ohio State.
Jump on Ohio State.
Before it goes all the way the other way to Ohio State -3 or something like that.
I'm telling you, don't even wait. Just jump on it now. It's going to creep toward Ohio State. It's not, I don't picture the line getting any higher in favor of Ohio State. So if you like Ohio State, jump on it now.
They're going to win outright.
I agree. Totally agree. Urban Meyer is the ultimate BCS buster.
I know. He's going to do it.
Wisconsin does not. They should not be a 10-win team.
No.
This is just. This is one of the worst Wisconsin teams I can remember. Melvin Gordon's great.
That's it. He's the only good player.
Yeah, he really is their only good player. They're not good. I mean, they're not a great team. They're a mediocre Wisconsin team. The Big Ten is very down, and the Big Ten West is just awful this year. So they've been the benefactors of a weak conference and division. And I think Ohio State actually does have top 10 talent. Oh, of course they do. They have great recruiting classes. They have Urban Meyer. They're going to struggle in the first quarter. I think they find a way.
Okay.
Meyer. This is what he does.
I agree. He's a fucker. This is what they're going to do. They're going to find a way to win this game. And if someone loses, I'm going to be terrified, and I'm going to sit there going, oh, my God, Ohio State's going to get in this playoff somehow. It's going to be pathetic. There'll be some shit.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're definitely getting in, but I do think they win this and they put themselves in a nice position. I actually thought that it works out well for the committee and for Ohio State with JT Barrett's injury because, let's be honest, if they were to make it in, they're the worst team by far in the playoff. And they're going to lose in the if they play Alabama, they're going to get crushed in that first game. Do we agree on that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Bad. Real bad.
Okay. So it's better for the fans if they don't make it and they say we got screwed than to make it and just get crushed.
Yes.
And I've heard this confirmed from Ohio State fans who say the same thing, although I'm sure they would never go on record. So it's better for them. It's better for the committee because there are other more deserving teams. I feel like this is a case where two people want to break up, but they don't have the heart to do it. And then one says like, oh, my job just transferred me to Phoenix. It's like, oh,
darn.
I guess we got to break up.
Nothing we can do now. So, what are you going to do?
That's it.
What else do I have to say?
Anything on this game? Anything otherwise? We're at a good time. I think we could end it, but
I had something else, but I don't remember.
Heisman race? Is the Heisman over, Dan? Is it Mariota?
Yeah, it's 1,000,000,000%.
What if he loses, Melvin Gordon runs for 200 and Wisconsin wins?
Yes, that's the only way. Random also fact, on this whole, we're talking about how the Cornhuskers fired Pelini. They have their fantastic, what the hell's his name? Amir Abdullah, the running back?
Amir Abdullah.
He's from Alabama. Did you know that?
No.
I thought that was a random side note that I just came across this week, and I'm like, see that shit? That guy's like, was probably some like, you know, average kind of player. And he's like, I can't go to school here. I think that's really funny. He's from Alabama. I never would have guessed that in a million years.
What I find funny is that the Big Ten, in a year when the Big Ten is considered a pretty bad conference and offensively abysmal, They have three of the five best running backs in the whole country. Yeah. I think Melvin Gordon has proven himself as the best college running back. Not talking about pro prospects, but just college players. Then Gordon's got to be one. If you're counting Todd Gurley, then he's 1B. Amir Abdullah, of course. And then there's a guy named Tevin Coleman in Indiana who's an outstanding running back.
Yeah.
Who probably is a top five guy. So
yeah, crazy.
Not bad. Not bad at all for the Big Ten.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
All right. So that works. Anything to you want to give us an Army-Navy pick then?
No. The only thing – all right, real quick.
No.
Real quick, yes and no. I may have to make a wager on this. I signed up for this thing on the website I use to sports bet where I would get a $250 thing if I wagered at least $35 every week of college football. Technically, this Army-Navy game by itself is a week of college football, so I think I actually have to bet this game.
So you have to bet $35 on one of the teams.
Yeah, to qual, or I can do half on the over-under, half on a team, hope to hit one and get the hell out of there in order to qualify. I think that they pulled a shady move, and people don't know that they got to bet this game to qualify for this little action bonus.
Huh.
Is this shady?
You could just bet $17.50 on each team and call it a hedge.
I could just do that. But that's no fun.
No, just go for
35,
it. Navy. Yeah. Navy, $35.
So, moral of the story is, yes, I have to bet this game. I believe so to get my end-of-year bonus, which I did for the NFL as well. So, but why not? I don't know.
Do Navy. Bet Navy.
Do we know anything about these teams? Hold on. This is a really special one-minute bonus podcast.
Okay.
Next week, 6-5 Navy at 4-7 Army, our bonus game of the week.
We're going to do it right now. Welcome, everyone, to our special bonus Take the Points Army-Navy one-minute podcast. We're recording this a week and a half before the game. Dan and I know nothing about either team. I'm going to Google both of their schedules and see who they've beaten and by what.
I got Navy.
And then we're going to make a pick right now.
Navy is number two in the country in rushing yards at 357 per game.
Yeah, well, I know Navy's better, but I want to see if this is
Army's the same
false
thing. Better. Sixth, 305 yards a game.
All right, so Navy lost to Ohio State by 17. That's respectable. Army now. Okay. So the Army Knights, they beat Buffalo by 12, they lost to Stanford by 35, they lost to Wake Forest. Okay, right there, we are done.
Yeah, and
they lost to Yale.
Navy has won four of their last five games, and their only loss being against Notre Dame, where they lost 49-39. So, yes. Midshipmen are the pick next week. There it is. Your 1 minute. Take the points. We just broke it down live for you right there. That's how we do it.
Also, it should be noted that Army beat UConn by 14.
That's not enough.
Dan, is UConn the worst team in college football?
We will find out this week when they play SMU.
Oh, yeah. We didn't make enough of that in our big podcast for the week. That is the battle for the worst team in the league.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
All right. Well, we'll come up with a special trophy to give them in our next podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks for the bowl games. Until then, see you later, everyone.
Adios. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point.
That was good. Hugh Freeze getting re-signed was a good one.
Yep, very
Florida
smart.
Apparently going after McElwain, which is a good one, I think.
Yeah, smart.
People making some good decisions lately.
So I know. It's
we need Michigan to step in and make a terrible hire so that we have something to make fun of.
Don't worry, it's coming.